Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I'm Scott Trout, CEO of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. We help men deal with the life changes triggered by divorce, such as child custody and property division, among many others. But life changes also occur after divorce. These changes can make parts of your existing court order irrelevant or harder to follow. If you feel a modification to your court orders might be necessary, talk to us at Cordell & Cordell. We're a partner men can count on.
Contact CordellCordell.com. 1065 East Hillsdale Boulevard, Suite 310, Foster City, California, 94404.
You are listening to The Bird Calls on the Off the Glass Nothing But Net and Up and Under networks. For more on your Pelicans, go to iTunes, search The Bird Calls, and subscribe today. All right, what's up, Pels fans? Welcome to the Bird Calls podcast. I'm your host and contributor to thebirdrights.com, Preston Ellis. And today we are talking, he checks his notes, the Lakers. How exciting. Has anyone had enough of these guys yet? Anyway, then we're going to talk a bit about Tim Frazier and the other Bertans brother, the older brother, I'm guessing Darius. It's spelled pretty similar to a daiquiri. But to do this and so much more, we've got the whole team, starting with our Lord and Commander, Editor-in-Chief to thebirdrights.com, Ollie of House Cosell. What's going on, dude?
Hey, Preston. West Coast games followed by Woj bombs after midnight.
Hi, this is Scott Trout, CEO of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. There are many life changes that can happen after divorce that make it difficult or impossible to uphold requirements of your divorce decree. The orders issued in a divorce are based on the facts presented at that time, but the circumstances used in issuing those orders can obviously change. If you feel a modification to your court orders might be necessary, talk to us at Cordell & Cordell.
Contact CordellCordell.com. 1065 East Hillsdale Boulevard, Suite 310, Foster City, California, 94404.
I know. What the hell? It must be nice being on the West Coast for those games. For me, I'm on the East Coast and ended at 1 o'clock in the morning, so I am tired. Next up, the Prince of the Port of Call, Mr. Kevin Berrios. How are the dogs?
They're okay. I'm surprised they're not being super loud right now because I just got home. So they were really anxious and running around, but they're calm now.
That's exciting. And finally, whose dog is barking then, actually?
That's mine.
Oh, okay. Speaking of, this is the guy coming off the exclusive interview with an LSU legend and mortal enemy to Etuan Moore, Mr. David Grubb.
Well, the LSU legend is not an eternal enemy to Etuan Moore. And he's not a mortal enemy. So, you know, you have to put that comment in there to make sure that folks know that they're not one of the same. Because I don't want him to start getting hate mail.
Yeah. How did that go, by the way, Grub?
It was really great. It was one of the most enjoyable interview experiences I've had with Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. This was the first time he had been on campus since he said the year that Ben Simmons was playing. He said it was very brief. But, you know, we talked a lot about just how his experience have shaped him, obviously, since he first came to LSU. And what was strange is that he was speaking in the student union, and he said he had never been in that building before. So he didn't go to it while he was a student. And in all the times since, he had never walked in the student union before. So it just tells you that just disconnect there can be between student athletes and their schools.
Yeah, and how important his relationship with you is, apparently. He traveled all that way just to see you.
Well, not just to see me, no. It was, he was speaking at the university's Black History, as part of their Black History Month programming. But yeah, we did have a great conversation. I was the only media person who met with him at lunch, and then we spoke again after his engagement for about a good 20 minutes. And we're going to talk in the future. There may be some things we do together, but the best thing was just listening to him because he's so much more than just one of the best college basketball players I've ever seen. Even though I'm never going to agree with anybody on everything, he's just a very thoughtful and intelligent and introspectful humanitarian. It was good to talk to as a person.
Very cool, man, and excited for you. You certainly deserve it. You work your butt off. Let's go ahead and get started with the show, you guys. Remember, if you like us and like what you're hearing, just do us a favor, retweet, share the pod, like it, like us on iTunes. We really appreciate all the help that you guys have given to us at this point in time. Ali, we're going to go ahead and talk Tim Frazier and Darius Bertans, but before we do that, let's go ahead and quickly recap the matchup last night with the Los Angeles Lakers. 22 points in 21 minutes for Anthony Davis, didn't play a minute in the fourth quarter. Again, Julius Randle was a wrecking ball, specifically in the first quarter before they start doubling him. 15 points in the first quarter, 35 points overall, 36 minutes from Jrue Holiday. A bit of a disappointing performance from Kenrich Williams. Didn't really hear too much from him. But Frank Jackson finally bounced back. He had 15 points in 29 minutes. That was nice to see. Ali, talk a bit about what you saw in the game last night.
Yeah, it felt like an all-star game to me. That's why I basically wrote in a recap. Because let's face it, it was nothing but layups and dunks. I mean, both teams combined to score like 140, 142 points in the paint. Couldn't make any three-pointers, and even the free throws weren't dropping. So when you shoot like 25% from three, and I guess both teams combined for what was around 70% from the free throw line, and to still have the score hit the level it did, I mean, that tells you a lot, right? So Alvin Gentry talked about how afterwards they couldn't make shots, and he was right to an extent. But, wow, I mean, just the lack of defense in the paint by both teams is what really stood out. And you just never got the sense that neither team was able to grab control of the game because of that. You know, the Pelicans were kind of trailing throughout much of that first half, and then in the third quarter they jumped all over the Lakers. I forget what the run was, like 17-1 or something. And they looked really good. I think they were up like 5 or 6 on the Lakers. And then they called timeout and boom, they come back and have 4 straight dunks. So it was just one of those type of games. And of course, LeBron James had some heroics at the end. He made just such a ridiculous shot over Jrue Holiday. One-legged, kind of a prayer, really. And it found nothing but the bottom of the net when you really thought that the Pelicans might come back and win after Darius Miller suddenly heated up at the end. But wasn't to be. And you know, it would have been great to beat Los Angeles again, of course. But you know what? I'm looking at how this team really needs to start piling up some more losses. So I did an article just the other day. And, you know, it's really, really would be opportune for them to finish, say, anywhere between like 6 and 9. Because those odds are so much drastically higher this year to land a top 5 pick as they've ever been. You know, in previous years, it was a much more tiered a level as to where the record determined pretty much everything. But now, where they've changed the rules and stuff, it's very advantageous for, you know, mediocre teams, like I said, 6 through 9, 6 through 10, to finish like right in those spots and really give themselves a good chance to land a really good pick.
Yeah, for sure. Nice job summarizing this. Kevin, we're going to continue. Obviously, Darius Miller had all 11 of his points in the fourth quarter. I think he was 0 for his first 6 shots, but I don't know if I'm remembering that correctly. But my big concern here, Kevin, if we're talking about winning, obviously, Ali is correct in his observation that we really do need to start thinking about losing. The Pelicans are something like 2 games from the 6th spot in the lottery rankings and something like 4 games from the 14th spot. I'm not remembering this correctly. I'm just guessing. But what I do want to talk about last night, Jrue Holiday, 1 for 9 from 3-point range. He seems to be falling in love with not just the step back, but also the pull up very early in the shot clock, went kind of forcing it almost. And then Jahlil Okafor got 3 fouls, I want to say, in his first 2 minutes and ended up only playing 3 minutes in the entire game. What was your observation of those 2 guys?
Yeah, I mean, Jrue with the 3, you know, I tweeted out, you die by the 3, you really die by the 3. And you know, when you're off and that's what you're settling for, you know, it's really bad. I mean, it became one point in the game, like Ali said, it was at first it looked like an all-star game where everything was at the rim. It looked like how I play 2K, like I just try to score at the rim constantly. There was no interior defense. Then there was that one point in the game where both teams just started to like settle for jump shots out of the blue. And Jrue Holiday fell into that hole himself. But, you know, Drew's was great last night for the most part. I mean, he was a plus 13 in a game we lost by what, 6 points or five or 6 points. And, you know, and I think, you know, all the other things he does on the court makes up for when he does fall in love with that. But obviously you'd like to see him more in attack mode. But, you know, also
now is the time for him to work on his game, because you're not trying to win games. So if he's trying to expand things, trying to figure things out, trying to work on new moves, I'm for it. You know, you like to see him attack more, but whatever, you know, he's still doing everything else right. He's playing with intensity, playing defense, distributing. So I'm not upset about that. I was surprised that Ja only got 3 minutes. I mean, especially you could look at, if you don't look at the plus minus of Julius Randle's box score, you could say he had a great game, I guess. And if you didn't watch it, you know, just looking at the numbers, you would say he had a great game. But really, I mean, he's the reason why there was nothing but layups at the basket and dunks, because he was not protecting the rim at all. And so it was just another one of those deceptive games by Julius Randle, where people could say that he's a great impact on this team and he's a great player, but you know, at the same time, he's digging you in a huge hole by not providing any amount of defense. So it'd have been nice to see Ja get a little bit more run or even check, because it was pretty brutal out there sometimes watching him just watch players blow past him, you know. So that was difficult. But I mean, Ja, I don't really understand why he only got 3 minutes, even though he had the fouls early. I mean, you can still put him in towards the end. So that was unusual for me. At least maybe he would have provided a little bit more effort at the basket defensively.
Yeah, I apologize who tweeted this to me last night, but just respond under this pod and I'll go ahead and retweet it. Somebody called Julius Randle the Lou Williams of power forwards, and I really enjoyed that, and I thought it was an astute observation, because he does give you as much offensively as he takes away from you defensively, like Kevin just pointed out. I'm going to reverse this, Grub, and go over to the Lakers. 45 points out of Brandon Ingram and Kyle Kuzma. Obviously, people can fall in love with Kyle Kuzma's deep game, though he didn't hit a three-pointer in this one. But the one thing that I was impressed about, although I hate watching these guys play, is just how good Brandon Ingram is at drawing whistles, sometimes frustratingly so. These guys combined for 45 points on, let me do quick math, 17 of 29 shooting. So they were very efficient, but like Julius Randle, as much as they give you offensively, they take away from you defensively. Should we get into the summer and Kyrie Irving, let's say, goes to New York and the Pelicans do re-engage in trade talks with the Los Angeles Lakers, did you see enough from Brandon Ingram and Kyle Kuzma to consider dealing for them?
Well, I don't think anybody has ever said that Kyle Kuzma and Brandon Ingram are not good players. But I think that the point always was, if you had a chance to get a superstar, then that's the chance you take first. But if you have to go back to Los Angeles and that's what you walk away with, is a package that includes Ingram and Kuzma, I don't think you lose in that particular situation, but you have to also know what you're getting. I don't think either one of those guys will be like a first team All-NBA player. I think they're probably both. Kuzma's probably his best situation would be as a sixth man, because he's not a great rebounder and not a good defender. Whereas Ingram, yeah, he could be a starting three in this league if he learns how to shoot from deep, because he just doesn't give you that part of his game, and he's not a particularly great defender or a great rebounder for his length. So, I mean, they all have flaws that keep them beneath that level of the optimum return you'd want to get for someone like Anthony Davis. But again, they're talented players. They show that. They can score at the NBA level, but neither one of them on their own is the kind of guy who you'd want to put the mantle of leading your franchise.
Now, Ali, I'll be the first one to defend him, but what in the world is going on with Etuan Moore?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I thought that he was looking, you know, looked like in his old self in previous couple games, to where he had that kind of bounce in his step. I remember talking with Andrew in the last game up in Media Row about that, but I don't know. I mean, maybe he's checked out. Maybe the situation is kind of weighed on him. I'm not sure, but you kind of notice that with a lot of players, the consistency has zapped. And I got to bring up the fact that while, you know, Jrue Holiday still gives his – who tries his butt off, I saw him have instances in last night's game where he was the one responsible for rotating over and defending the rim. So it wasn't just Julius Randle. I don't want everybody to think it's just Julius, because it was breakdowns galore by everybody. So I, Preston, just think it's that time of the year. You're not fully engaged, because you know what? I mean, you're not practicing that much. You know this, you know, what environment you're operating in. And that's, of course, a losing team that has really no chance of making the playoffs. I think even the guys know that. And once the players know that, you know, you notice, especially team play, drop off dramatically.
Kevin, Stanley Johnson in just 1 minute with a negative plus minus of 4 and 2 turnovers and 1 personal foul. What, if anything, are we expecting to get out of Stanley Johnson for the remainder of this season?
Nothing. I mean, I think Ollie tweeted or shared in our DMs last night how many minutes he's played so far as in this league, and it's a lot of minutes, and he's not done anything with those minutes, so I wouldn't expect him to change anytime soon. So I think he was just a guy they brought in maybe to see if a change of scenery would spark him, and that hasn't happened. And you know, he was just salary filler, and those second round picks were the real prize. And you know, I don't think he's long for this roster, so I wouldn't expect much out of him. I think what you saw so far is what you're getting. I mean, I remember Duncan Smith always complaining about him, you know, on Pistons Twitter. So I don't think we should expect much out of him.
All right, you talked just the perfect length of time for me to pull up Kenrich Williams' stats. After scoring double digits in 5 of 6 games without Anthony Davis, once the Orlando game came in from that point in time, Grubb, Kenrich Williams has really been struggling. He did have that impressive game against Oklahoma City where he got 12 boards and 4 assists. But other than that, he just hasn't been playing the way that he was playing through the course of those 6 games prior to Anthony Davis coming back. Grubb, does Kenrich look good to you? What's going on with him?
Well, I think it's another adjustment for him. I mean, he's getting his whole rookie season kind of pushed into and compressed into this period after and around the All-Star break, because he didn't really play much at all the first 40 games of the season. So he's going through those things. People are adjusting to him. He's having to adjust in big ways to different lineup groups where his role becomes different. Obviously, when AD and Randall on the floor, Andrew, he's fourth. Before, he was getting shots in transition as the second look at times when AD wasn't there or when Randall wasn't there. So I think that there's an adjustment mentally in trying to find his balance of how aggressive am I supposed to be? Can I drive in this situation? I haven't played with Julius. I haven't played with AD. You know, so I think all of those things are going on for him. But overall, I mean, I think his effort is there, but I think his mind has not caught up to where he needs to be just at this moment. I don't have concerns about him. I just can kind of just feel that rookie part of his season coming together in this. And again, it's in this weird situation.
All right.
Chris, I want to add just one thing that I've noticed with Kenrich. And when I think it's pretty obvious to me, when he was playing the power forward, the four, he was a lot more active. He was a lot more, I guess, in his best role for this team. And you saw that, whether he was crashing the glass, having the ball at the top of the key and being one of the decision makers. Now with Davis and Randall playing, he's just literally standing there on the wing, usually not even getting a touch on a possession, and therefore he's not having an impact. And so when he does get a pass, you know, he's been cold, hasn't touched a ball for 5, maybe 6 possessions, and he's being asked to shoot a 3. As for before, he was really involved. So I think we're quickly learning where Kenrich operates best, at least currently, with the skill set that he's got. And that is, of course, being in a super active role.
Yeah, I don't even necessarily know if you put him at the power forward role. I just remember that he was starting most of those games alongside Darius Miller, and Darius Miller takes the role of standing out on the wing, just gives a lot more spacing so that Kenrich can come in and crash the glass and make some havoc, as Ollie was just discussing. Now he's paired alongside Julius Randle, Anthony Davis, who take up a lot of that space, takes away his room to operate, and like Ollie said, just relegated to staying out on the perimeter when rebounding is such a strong suit for him. He's one of the Pelicans, I think, best guys at boxing out, one of the only guys at boxing out. Ollie, I think it's time to transition over to Tim Frazier. Late last night, Adrian Wojnarowski, he's always the forefront of Pelicans news. Why can't any of our beat guys get some of that insider information ahead of Woj? Woj always seems to get the tip. But before we go ahead and give Tim Frazier a hard time, obviously he's very close friends with Anthony Davis. He vacationed with him at Disney World last week. I think they were on the test track together at Epcot and on the Instagram photo. But I do want to credit him with this, Ollie. Tim Frazier assuming the point guard role with Elfrid Payton down, I think it was against the Washington Wizards. He had something like a plus minus of 20, had like 12 assists, but he basically gave Jrue Holiday the freedom to do what he does well, play off ball, play great defense, kind of crash the rim, work away from the ball. And now we've seen Jrue Holiday kind of ascend to a whole nother level. Does any of that credit go to Tim Frazier, Ollie?
I'm sorry.
I think we should have David answer this.
Go ahead, Grubb.
I'm sorry. Just the lead up, I was wondering where it was going. And then when you asked the question, I'm sorry, it just made me laugh. Ollie, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I didn't expect Preston to make that U-turn either. But no, I mean, honestly, Tim Frazier was always just brought in to do one thing. And that, of course, was to provide a backup minutes because Jrue Holiday at the start of the year, middle of the year, what was he always saying? I want to play the two. And even when Elford came back just recently, he said that there's nobody happier than Jrue to play the two. So, yeah, that was probably a part of it that, you know, you can maybe give Tim Frazier some credit because he alleviated some of that pressure. But let's face it, Tim Frazier's not really a good basketball player. Despite some of the stats, you know, despite what he did for the team, he never had a good impact as to where you felt like he was, A, running the offense well, or B, defending at least adequately at his position. So I think the writing was on the wall for him. He was a totally an emergency hire, I felt like, by Dell Demps back much earlier in the season. And with him being gone, I don't think anybody's going to miss him. But I think the most interesting thing to take away from all this is the timing of everything. You know, they let Tim Frazier go out in Los Angeles to where Anthony Davis has, you know, purchased a home over the summer for the team he wants to play for, you know, desperately wanted to end up with the Lakers before the trade deadline. And so first stop on this 4-game road trip, they tell Tim Frazier, hey, you're done. And he hadn't played in about, I guess, since before the All-Star break. So it's just the timing's a little interesting. And a lot of people out there are saying, hey, that's the Pelicans being a little petty. They're trolling Tim Frazier and especially Anthony Davis's group. I mean, I'm not buying that, but it makes sense.
Ollie, let me stop you because you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think March 1st is the last date in which a player can be signed by an outside franchise and still participate in the playoffs. So I think if anything, Danny Ferry might be doing him a favor, allowing him 24 hours to jump on with another squad and possibly play in the playoffs.
Hey, if you want to say that and write that, fine. Sorry, no.
All right, let's go ahead to Kevin. Obviously, the Pelicans waived Tim Frazier to experiment with Darius Bertāns, the 29-year-old elder brother of Davis Bertāns, who's shooting 54% in a Latvian league. Ollie's got a write-up on him on thebirdwrites.com right now. Do you expect to see anything from the other Bertāns this season?
I mean, I'm sure we'll see him play a lot of minutes because he's on one of those late season deals where he's signed on a 2-year deal, but the second year is a team option. So they want to see what they got in him, I guess, and see what kind of spacing he has. But I mean, I think it's more of maybe just hoping to provide some spacing for other guys to be able to operate, like you were saying, like, so Kendrick's not stuck out on the wing now. Maybe he can go back more on the inside and rebound more with another guy spacing the floor a little bit. Those kind of things, opening it up for drives and kickouts. I don't think they're like really trying to evaluate. And he's like 30 years old, right? Like a 30-year-old shooting guard that added to the long-term piece to this team. I think just the skill set that he brings will hopefully help them evaluate the other guys better.
So Ollie just sent me a DM. He said, March 1st is the last day a player can be waived by one team and remain eligible to appear in the postseason for another team. So there's that information for you. So now Tim Frazier could be a difference maker for the Rockets, as David Crump just DMs me. David, let's go over to you. There's some other veterans on the team, like an Ian Clark, that could clear space for another potential European pickup. The Pelicans could experiment with some 10-day contracts. How active do you think Danny Ferry is going to be over the latter portion of the season?
Well, I think if there's an indication that they have no plans for somebody in the long term, then, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe someone else gets let go. But I doubt they would do that to Ian unless they knew that there was a team that was going to sign him before the playoffs. I just don't think that they would do that to him because he's a veteran, a guy that people like, and his contract expires at the end of the year anyway. So, I mean, I just don't see them in doing that. But, you know, Ferry has just shown that if they feel like they can do something just to get a look at somebody, yeah, they'll move somebody. But I don't know who that candidate would be to give up a roster spot because you're not going to cut Solomon Hill at this point. So there aren't a lot of candidates to come in and take a spot. That's just the only thing with the Pelicans right now. None of the other guys, you know, you're not going to get move Frank, you're going to get rid of Check, you're not going to get rid of Okafor. So I don't see a lot of places to play with.
All right. Remember to follow these guys at Ali Cosell, at Kevin B for Bounce, and at DM Grub. We're going to get into the question portion of our podcast now. Kevin, this is from our friend Waka Waka Wakanda. He says, only one question. Did I see Frank wearing Kyrie Lowe's last night?
I'm going to defer that to somebody who pays attention to shoes because I don't. So I don't know.
I don't know either. What about you, Grub?
I think he was, but I didn't see any close-up shots of him last night. They looked kind of like those, but mostly everybody's been wearing the Kobe's this year. So I'd have to check, because especially with these uniforms, they've been wearing the Kobe's, but I'll double check, but I don't care. I don't know.
This is from CB Corbor. He says, since they will actually draft someone in the first this year, fingers crossed, have you guys been checking out lottery projected players? And before we get to lottery projected players, Ali, can you talk a bit about where the Pelicans sit right now in terms of tank order?
Yeah, so before yesterday's games, I haven't looked this morning yet, they were sitting ninth, to where they had the ninth worst record in the league. So that would have given them about a 20% chance to land a top five player. In the past, team finishing with a ninth worst record had a 6% chance of landing that pick. So that's why I mentioned that earlier. I think it's absolutely huge and vital for this team to end up somewhere in that, you know, 5 to 10 range, preferably, you know, 6 or 7, get up as high as you can, because those odds really jump up compared to what they've done in seasons past. So can you imagine before the Pelicans even trade Anthony Davis for whatever haul they get in return, that they land a top three pick, that we have the rights to Zion Williamson, John Morant, or one of those other two Duke players? I mean, that would be incredible. So I think that's what, honestly, I would hope. I mean, people say, you know, teams don't generally tank, and I've honestly never witnessed this Pelicans team ever outright tank, but secretly, deep down, I really want to see them do that this year.
All right, let me pull it up right now. They are positioned right between the Washington Wizards and Dallas, whose pick is going to Atlanta. They're 27-36. Washington is 25-36, and Dallas is 27-34. They are currently slotted eighth right now with 26.3% likelihood of landing in the top four, 6% likelihood of landing first overall in the Zion sweepstakes. All right, this is from Tejeda. He's got two questions for us, Kevin. He says, do you think there's any value in not making the NBA an enemy by playing Anthony Davis? So why do you think the Pelicans continue to play him?
I mean, I think that they obviously think that there is value in that, because there's clearly no other reason not to. I don't think the money's really an issue, because it's not a whole lot of money there. They obviously see some reason not to do that, and they're not doing it for that reason. And I don't necessarily know what it is, but I think they have a pretty decent relationship with Adam Silver, and they didn't really have that with David Stern in the past. So I think they just want to keep that going forward for other issues. That's the only thing that makes sense to me.
All right, second question from Tejeda Grubb. Is there a scenario this summer that could happen that scares you when it comes time to trade AD?
Well, I think the biggest things would be, you know, you're at less of an advantage with the Celtics if Kyrie does decide to leave Boston, and that takes away a major negotiating partner, possibly. The other one, you know, you worry about whether or not the Knicks can put themselves in a real position. So those, the third one is, does AD get hurt before you get to make the trade? You know, all those are that would be your number one worst case scenario. But the second would be if Kyrie decides to leave Boston, because then they become, I think, a lot more hesitant to include Tatum in the deal, because they'd like to have some idea that they can keep someone long-term.
All right, just putting a tweet up. All right, this is from Doodle, a.k.a. Junior. Ali, let's say Tatum is on the table. Wouldn't a package of New York's number two pick be better than their offer if Kevin Knox and Mitchell Robinson was to come with that pick, and you select Morant with that second pick? I'm just a Morant fan now. That used to be my favorite player. Is too big for us now. So basically, Ali, where do the Knicks and the Celtics stand in terms of trade assets right now?
Well, Celtics are definitely number one. I mean, Tatum is the prize because he's ready now. And I think that's what the organization is definitely looking to do. I mean, you've got to, number one, make sure that you can keep Drew Holiday around. And so if he's just giving you a year or two max to basically really legitimately be back in the playoffs, or at least to be pursuing that goal, then you've got to get guys out there that can perform now. And regardless of almost any rookie that enters the league, there's a huge adjustment period. So even though Zion Williams is a hell of a talent, I mean, Anthony Davis wasn't ready in his first couple of years to help the Pelicans in the playoffs. Sure, he was a, you know, we saw jaw-dropping dunks and defense and stuff. And hey, Davis. But no, it's clearly the Celtics with Tatum. You want a young stud. Plus, they've got other good, you know, good serviceable players. I think Marcus Smart and would be a dream because you could pair him up alongside Drew Holiday. I mean, those guys would be a terror. So that would be an identity you could take off right from the start. As for the Knicks, none of these guys have proven themselves in the league. I mean, Mitchell Robinson's having difficulty just seeing consistent playing time, even though he's been playing better of late. He still has at least 2-3 years to learn a lot of things before he can be a significant contributor. Kenny Knox, I mean, he just doesn't have a basketball shot right now. And whoever you draft, like I've already mentioned, they're not going to be ready to help right away. So it's clearly the Celtics package is the pristine one. But really wanted to quickly add, too, that say Boston does know that Kyrie Irving is not going to resign, regardless of whether they can get AD or not, I'm very happy to think that the Clippers are going to be that buffer to keep the trade packages up and still very favorable towards the Pelicans. Because we saw them all make all these moves for the future. They're clearly assembling for maybe Kawhi Leonard, and they've got enough money for another pick after dealing Tobias Harris away. So we know AD wants to be in LA. Why wouldn't he just go ahead and choose the Clippers instead of the Lakers? Because again, if he's truly concerned about winning, how can you put the Lakers at the top? This team, I know they won yesterday, but they're a mess. And if I'm AD, I'm looking honestly to go somewhere else if I've got the choice instead of those Lakers, because it's going to be all on him. LeBron James is aging. We've seen how much help that team really needs. I think the Clippers would be a better fit. And with them being involved for this summer sweepstakes for a lot of those key free agents, I'm happy that, you know, so regardless of what happens to Boston, that we'll be fine. The Pelicans will be fine and whatever trade packages get offered for AD, they won't be lowballed.
All right, Kevin, this is from our friend M. Tooman. He says, Ingram has been outplaying Tatum since trade talks broke. Siakam may be outplaying both. Tatum last night, 35 minutes, 0 assists and 4 turnovers. Ingram, 6 rebounds and 4 assists, 0 turnovers to go along. I think he had 23 points and he got to the line 10 times. He says, the lack of Tatum's distributing is troubling. Kevin, do you think that Brandon Ingram might possibly be playing better than Tatum right now?
I mean, he might be playing better than him right now, but I think Tatum is overall the better player. He's a more well-rounded player. He's a better defender. He is a better rebounder. He's a better a versatile scorer. I think right now what we're seeing is that Boston is going through the stage that the Lakers went through a couple of weeks ago when, you know, where it's the infighting and the you don't want me here, you don't want to be here situation going on, and it's really affecting their chemistry. I think Brandon Ingram has broken out of that now and is playing out of his mind for the most part, and you know, the Celtics are just that in that funk that the Lakers were in a couple of weeks ago, and I think you'll see Tatum get out of this soon. If not, it doesn't matter because we've already seen enough tape of him and we know what he can be. It's just that situation has become toxic. So something needs to change, whether it's the young guys get shipped out or Kyrie leaves, whatever. Those things will sort itself out and Tatum will return to the kind of player he was because he is that good of a player. And I think, you know, when you see the best of Tatum, you see a better player than the best of Ingram. And Ingram's situation allows him to take a lot more shots and be a more focal point of an offense that makes his numbers look better. Whereas in Boston, it's more of a sharing system. And then also because Kyrie's at the top of the totem pole, and then you have other guys like Horford and Hayward and Brown and these other guys who are trying to get theirs too, it sort of dilutes what Tatum could be in a system where he is, you know, more of the focal point, where he's either one or two, the first or second option, like he would be in New Orleans. So I wouldn't put much stock in that at the moment. I mean, you have to look at the situation as a whole, not just at numbers sometimes.
All right. We've got a question from James Gayson. He says, are you guys leaving for Seattle this year or asking for a friend? I think this is probably said in good faith. I'm sure it's just a jest. As you may well know, or if you're not a Pelicans fan, Gail Benson just announced recently, just today, that she is committed to staying here. It's not just about the organization. It's not just about the money. It's also about honoring her late husband, Mr. Tom Benson. She wants this team to win for him. After all, it was her who encouraged him to purchase the team. So please go out. Fly out to your friends and let them know that the Pelicans are here to stay. And if Seattle does want a team in the future, it's more likely going to happen through expansion than anything else. Should the league ever expand to 32 teams, you'd have to be Seattle would be at the forefront of that discussion. This is from the Orthogonian. He says, thoughts on signing this 30-year-old European player seems to undercut the idea of going young next year after the AD trade. And you're 100% correct. And you're 100% Herb. It's just a flyer on a guy who shoots 54% from three-point range. So if that is something that does translate to the NBA, then definitely worth a look. All you lose out of it is Tim Frazier. If Elfrid Payton can remain healthy, that's not something necessarily that's going to hurt you going forward anyway. And even if for some reason he does miss some time, well, then just start up the tank train. This is from Tom Hickson, and I think it's Grubb's turn. He says, of all the guys outside Anthony Davis in the rotation, who are the guys y'all think realistically stick around beyond this season, vets included? And I think he's specifically talking about Julius Randle, Grubb.
Well, you know, Julius's situation is going to be is based on his options and who goes out and pursues him. Because obviously he's going to take his player option and become a free agent and see what the market bears. Now, if the Pelicans, the next general manager, whomever that may be, thinks of Julius as a long-term option, I don't think that anybody's going to be willing to dump franchise player level money at Julius just because of his defensive inefficiencies, his size, and his inability to protect the paint. But the Pelicans could, if they wanted to round the roster out that way. The rest of the guys, you know, you still have to figure Solomon comes back because of this contract, the way it's structured. Drew, unless he demands a trade, is coming back. Elfrid, it will be a free agent. And again, it'll be based on his market. It certainly he hasn't improved his value this year because of his injury. So he would be a reasonable player that the Pelicans could target just to say, you want to be home. We could give you another reasonable deal, heavily on incentives, come on back. So yes, he's probably likely to return too. Okafor is a very team-friendly deal. Kenrich Williams, very team-friendly deal. Trevon Blewett, obviously team-friendly deal. So I think pretty much everybody you expect to be back will be back. Ian Clark probably will not. So, you know, outside of the rest of that group, everyone else will be under team-friendly deals and they'll be back next season.
Yeah. Ollie, just quickly, how disappointing is it that obviously Trevon Blewett has had some trouble with his back? How disappointed are you that we're probably not going to get to see him at all this season?
I don't know. I mean, this guy definitely still needed to get a lot of reps in, even if it was just the G League or something like that. So, yeah, I'm disappointed because you're right. He would be getting time now. But, again, I didn't have any expectations of him performing well. I mean, look at how much Frank Jackson has struggled, guys. I guess that's a barometer you want to use here. Frank looked, you know, had really good flashes in preseason. And that one game in the summer league, he looked really good as well. As for Trevon Blewett, had a lot of up and down performances. You know, he started off summer league so hot, winning three games, or excuse me, performing well, I think in the first two games or something like that, and then his play kind of dropped off. So yeah, I mean, everybody obviously wants to see what this kid can do because he's by far maybe their best shooter actually on the squad now with Nikola Mirotic getting traded away, and you don't know what's going to be the contract status of Darius Miller moving forward since his is up. Trevon Blue could be the next best three-point shooter they've got on the entire roster. So you want to see him get some minutes to see what he does or what else he can do on the court. But again, I never had expectations this guy ever seeing 20, 25 minutes and wowing anybody. I just think he's the type that's going to take some time because he is a little bit undersized. So he's going to need to learn all the nuances in the NBA. As for somebody like Kenrich Williams, who is bigger, who already has developed kind of that instinct on doing all these small things. I think Blewett needs to do that because he was primarily a scorer at Xavier. You know, I can't remember if he finished first or second in that at that school in terms of points scored for his career, but he was right there. So, you know, yeah, I mean, let's just hope that Trevon Blewett sticks around. They still like him, and he gets to play in this upcoming summer league, and then he can show us what he has learned. And then maybe next year, he can be a factor on the roster.
All right. Sorry, I was just looking through an angry Pelicans fans mentions last night, or not a Pelicans fans. I don't know who he's representing other than despair. This is from Victor. He says, why did Okafor not get any minutes? That was troubling to me as well. Just 3 minutes and three fouls in that time. I think he got picked up three fouls in his first 2 minutes. So Alvin Gentry must have thought he wasn't going to be able to give meaningful time in that game. That's what I would assume. Let's do a speed round, you guys. Kevin, this is from Sejimo. He says, evaluations of the Darius Bertans trade, what does it say about the potential of Ferry to stay on permanently? Do you think this presents a possibility of us scouting more internationally in the future?
I mean, I think Dell scouted a lot internationally. I mean, we've seen him bring in a lot of players from overseas, so I don't think that's anything that's changing. I mean, and I also, like I said already, I don't think the Bertans deal is a huge thing. I think it's more to give a skill set that allows you to evaluate the other guys better, because he will hopefully provide some spacing to open up things for guys to do things that they do better, such as Kendrick Williams close to the rim, Frank Jackson more driving lanes, Drew Holiday more driving lanes, stuff like that. So I don't look at it as a big deal, honestly.
All right, this is from Crescent City Connect Grub. He says, what's up, y'all? I'm thrilled about our draft pick possibly being a top five pick. One question, though. If Pelicans trade with Boston over the summer, I'd expect the Memphis pick to be a part of that package. How exactly does the Memphis pick convey to us in this draft? I'm going to answer that for you, actually, because I actually know it offhand. So it's top eight protected this year. Right now, they're slotted as sixth. So they'll keep their pick this year. Next year, it's top six protected. And then after that, it's unprotected. So it actually becomes more valuable as we go along. Grub, how important would it be to you to in a deal with Boston that Memphis pick falls out of the top eight this year?
Well, I don't want it this year if it falls out of that group, because it just isn't a deep enough draft. So, I mean, I'd rather if some of these picks, you know, if the picks convey to next year, those to me are the best option, unless you're in the top three or four of this year's draft. So, yeah, the best case scenario for me then would be, yeah, let's get it next year.
Yeah, and even better than that, if it doesn't translate next year either, I want to say that it becomes unprotected in 2022, and that's the famous year where the high schoolers come out. So that could be the best advantage of all of this. So it's actually more valuable as we go along. This is from Desmond Dickerson. He says, well, you asked us what we are happy mad about. So what are y'all thankful for with the Drew Tang clan? And I'm going to pose that to Ollie.
I just love that Drew Holiday is following up his best season with even a better season, but of course it's flying under the radar considering the Pelicans standings in out here in the West. So the fact that Drew Holiday has not only played well, but also he's become the face of the franchise. I mean, there's no doubt everybody you talk to before games just raves about this guy who goes around his business, and secretly you're hearing that he's kind of relishing this opportunity and kind of, you know, building a team around him in his mold. And we saw that, like I said, when Anthony Davis was out, this team played such a scrappy style. They could have conceivably ran off three or four wins in a row against Western Conference playoff contenders. Instead, they had that one great win against the Houston Rockets, and they had a bunch of close losses. But when they're engaged, when everybody kind of follows and mimics Drew Holiday's energy, giving it their full effort defensively, you know, this team is a fun squad. And I think that's the kind of product that everybody wants to see moving forward. If you're going to build around Drew Holiday, well, let's make it an extension of him, because it's not only an entertaining brand of basketball, but you know what? It looks like it could conceivably be a dark horse in the West. Because like I said, they drove everybody to the limits in the final minutes of the fourth quarter, where they could have walked away with a lot more wins than they did.
All right. Just for reference, Boston does have Sacramento's pick at 14 and the Clippers pick at 18. And those will probably, I think the Clippers pick is lottery protected, but right now they've got a 3-game lead on Sacramento and a 4-game lead on the Lakers. Wow. It really does look as if the Lakers are not going to make the playoffs this year, but that remains to be seen. We've got four questions left, and then I got to get out of here. This is from Joseph Craven. He says, how long you thinking this new Saints trade talk inspired LA versus New Orleans rivalry lasts? I'm hoping forever. Kevin, do you want a rivalry with LA?
Sure. I mean, I don't care. Like, I've already had a personal rivalry with LA anyway. Like, I've hated the Lakers my whole life. So, like, this just adds to it. So it's perfect, I guess.
Perfect. This is from Savvy P. How much of a national story would AD missing the team bus flight be made into, Grub?
Is this a playoff of my tweet? Is that what?
Yeah, the Luke Walton deal.
I mean, you know, again, the Luke Walton thing was more just funny because of when it happened and where it happened. AD, they're not going to leave AD. Just like that bus didn't leave Luke Walton. I mean, it left him for a minute and it came back. Pelicans ain't getting on no plane without Anthony Davis. That's just not going to happen. It's a level of, if it were intentional, it would be a level of petty that, again, if they're not willing to sit him, they're not going to embarrass him in that way. So, I mean, I get the joke and it's funny. It is. It'd be funny to see it happen. But in reality, no, I don't think that there's any way that that happens. And to go back earlier, yes, those were Kyrie's on Frank Jackson's feet. They were just in a New Orleans Pelicans colorway, which I had not seen before.
Ooh, Andy Coyer asks, Darius, couldn't we go with someone younger with upside or even filter through some 10-day contracts first? I think you're absolutely right, Andy. I think they're definitely looking right now. I'm sure Danny Ferry, that's what he's doing, scouring the market. Like you said, they could either go with a 10-day contract for an experiment, a la Jordan Crawford years ago, James Ennis, Wayne Selden, that sort of thing. Or they could conceivably waive Ian Clark and possibly guarantee somebody a year or two if they pull somebody over from Europe like they did with Tim Frazier. Ollie, over under the slot will end up for the lottery odds, and he's saying 6.5. So I think that's percentage of the top overall pick, because I don't think we're going to fall to six and pass Memphis. They've got a 3-game lead on us right now. So basically, do you think the Pelicans can catch up with the Washington Wizards, who now trail the Pelicans by 2 wins?
Yeah, because the Wizards are still trying to win out there in the East. And I was looking at the standings after we answered that question earlier, Preston, but yeah, we're right there in eighth with Miami and Washington, who are both battling for Eastern Conference playoff hopes, as well. We're obviously not. So, yeah, I think eight is the number that I'm circling. I would love to see them end up higher, but it just doesn't look realistic unless Pelicans go on like a 10, 12-game losing streak and somebody below them wins 3 or 4.
All right, this is from Ulis Yunta. He says, as we focus toward the offseason and looking at how the talent on both the Lakers and the Celtics are playing, excluding the number one pick in the draft between those two and the talents they can offer, which is the best fit so far? And I think we answered this one pretty well earlier in the podcast. I hope that satisfies your queries. This one is from Quinito Rodriguez. He says, wouldn't the Pelicans have won if AD didn't play at all? I know he scored 22 points in 21 minutes, but if he didn't play, it would have allowed the other guys to have warmed up to allow them to have a good fourth quarter. It was way too cold from three tonight. How much does Anthony Davis and his usage rate on the floor affect the role players, Kevin?
Yeah, I mean, are you hearing me right now? I'm sorry, I can't tell if I'm muted or not.
No, you sound great.
Okay, sorry, I was muting because my dog's playing with this loud toy, so I was trying to block him out. Anyway, yeah, that's a tough question to answer. I mean, obviously, you know, AD scored 20 points in 20 minutes and was a +4, but, you know, there's this cloud over the team when he plays. Nobody seems to be comfortable when he's on the court, and when he's off the court, they seem to be more comfortable. That's very eyeball testy, but also you look at, you know, Drew Holiday's a +13 and, you know, stuff like that. And we've seen what happened with Kenrick Williams now that he has to play next to AD and not across from Darius Miller. And, you know, it's getting guys out of what's best for them at this point in time. Not to say that, you know, obviously if Anthony Davis was fully engaged and this wasn't happening, obviously you want him on the court. But it's just the situation is just so weird. And everybody seems to be pressing a lot when he's on the court and not playing within the flow of what fits them and what fits the team right. So I think, you know, obviously the best case scenario for this team is to not have him out there because it's just such a weird situation. And then you could truly get to evaluate these guys better. And also without having a top five player on the court, you're probably more likely to lose games. Although it does seem like we play better and harder when he's not playing at all. So it's tough to say. It's just a terrible situation. And I think one thing that we should have pointed out, talked about already in this pod, is how amazing was it that when he scored the first bucket, they gave the points to the Lakers last night. That was so fitting and perfect of a thing. But yeah, I mean, this just needs to end because it's not good for anyone. I mean, we've talked that to death. National media has talked that to death. The Van Gundy's talked that to death last night. It doesn't benefit anyone to have him out there. Doesn't let anyone accomplish their goals. It doesn't help with evaluating. It doesn't help us lose games that we need to lose. It doesn't help us protect our best asset going forward to restructure this team. So I, you know, we just need to get him out of here, and hopefully the league comes around on that at some point, we go forward that way.
All right. Thank you guys so much. That's it for now. We appreciate your support. If you guys can do us one more favor, just retweet this, like it, share it with your friends, go on iTunes. You know the drill. We deeply appreciate it. And thank you for tuning in. Ale Cosell, you can follow him at Ale Cosell. David Grubb at DM Grubb. Kevin B for Bounce is his Twitter handle. Ale, anything you're working on this week, sir?
Finding some sleep. Working conference road trip. And I think I've got every single recap. So. Not too happy about that.
Oh, geez. Kevin, what's going on with you, man?
It's Mardi Gras, so I just work nonstop and make all that money and then take some rest after that.
Perfect. Grub, when can we expect that exclusive interview to come out?
I'm trying to finish it up because that's so much text. I had to talk to a number of other people at LSU. So hopefully I can have that done by this weekend. Then, of course, I'm also dealing with the LSU Tigers, who are trying to close the regular season and win an SEC championship.
All right, you guys, I'm Preston Ellis. Remember, on Twitter, let's be good to each other. The Pelicans have the Suns coming up, followed by a back-to-back doubleheader with the Utah Jazz and the Denver Nuggets. So plenty of basketball to be played, plenty still to be positive about, developing young guys, seeing performances like the one we did from Frank Jackson. So keep positive, be good to one another, and let's go Pels. Thank you for listening to The Bird Calls on the Off the Glass, Nothing But Net, and Up and Under podcast networks. If you like what you're hearing, please take a moment to rate us on iTunes, retweet, share with your friends, and most importantly, subscribe today.
Say Metro by T-Mobile, got the best deal in wireless, and it's all for you, all for me. Just switch quickly, because Metro has two lines for $80 and two Samsung Galaxy J7 Star phones for free, plus Amazon Prime included. That's the way wireless should be, only at Metro.
Plus sales tax and activation fee. $50 plus rate plan required. Not valid for numbers currently on T-Mobile network or on Metro in past 90 days. Offer subject to change. Offer valid for new Amazon Prime members. Amazon Prime has a $12.99 per month value. Restrictions apply. See store for details and terms and conditions.
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right. Save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right.
What is this? This looks good.
Wow.
That's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.